It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
We're talking about cults. We're talking about Sam Bateman. We're talking about the Netflix doc that just dropped about exactly this, about the FLDS and Samuel Bateman. The doc shows you the trailer, the arrest, the courtroom. It can show you what was happening inside the heads of the people that were living it. Women who smiled on camera while their lives were being dismantled. Children who wrote the truth in journals but couldn't say it out loud to a single adult. Fathers who believed handing over a 9-year-old was an act of love. This conversation is about the damage that no sentence to Samuel Bateman can fix. With us, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author of the book Nightbird, available wherever you get books. Highly recommended. She herself is a survivor of extreme religious control. Siobhan, as we dive into this, one of the biggest things to me, we saw the wives that were in this, but even more compelling and more disturbing to me were these fathers, these people who were like successful business people, people who had like had enough money to buy somebody a Bentley. You know, that's expensive. That's something that, you know, just like, well, let me, it's not like I'm buying you a Geo Metro because you're helping take the kids to school or something. Mm-hmm. It's a Bentley. And even worse than that, beyond physical gifts, giving the ultimate gift, their daughters, mm-hmm. to this man, mm-hmm. because they were convinced that he was the prophet. They're not being manipulated in any sort of S way in a bedroom. This is just man to man talking, if you will. Give me your thoughts on this, because that was a unique angle to this story, and one that we don't usually see typically in a lot of cults. It's typically leader and his wives.
Right. What it spoke to me about is the insidious nature of, you know, sometimes we use the word patriarchy all over the place, but this, I think, is a perfect example of the patriarchy, where men ruled women. Women were not looked at as people. They were looked at objects to be used, including their daughters. And how can this use of women, having as many wives as you can afford, apparently, and then basically giving your daughters away as if they're cattle, and that there was no internal moral structure, that this is wrong. And I think that's one of the most disturbing things about cults, is that women, particularly these fundamentalist religious cults, women are not real people. They're not real people. They're objects to be used. And that's how I saw that.
This is the complete underlining bedrock of every single cult we study, whether it's IBLP, whether it's FLDS. It is how you're going to subjugate women. Mm-hmm. And it blows my mind that they still don't recognize it in there. And which is, to Tony's point, it's so revolting and compelling watching fathers that look like they have emotion about their children willingly hand them over like the commodity that they were told they were. With their daughter, I mean, and going back to the precursor to this, and Warren Jeffs one, where they get a little more granular than they even did on this one, the Netflix doc, it's just abhorrent. You can't even imagine this is happening outside of, mm-hmm. You know, 500 BC in Greece or mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. It just blows your mind how I mean, talk about that dichotomy, that how can someone feel that it's wrong, like it looked like they did, and even the mothers, especially the mothers, and yet they mm-hmm. still did it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially mm-hmm. when it's such a, it's not like you had the social proof of hundreds of people or thousands, like in the Warren Jeffs case. We're talking 20 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. It is mind-blowing, and it's really hard for those of us who don't think that way to understand how can you devalue and debase your wives and your daughters in this way. It's a different mindset, and it does feel like something that goes back hundreds of years, you know, in humanity, in human society, where women were burned as witches if, you know, the community didn't like them, and daughters were sold. I mean, there are still parts of the world where women are sold, or women who displease their parents are murdered. You know, I'm thinking of countries like India where those things still happen.
Yeah.
And it shows how much our culture, of course, there are problems with America. We can all list those. We're not perfect. But women are people here, you know, in normal society. We recognize that. And we're not treated as animals. We should not be treated as animals. And this is just in so many ways a backwards, you know, society. They have their own society. And women and girls are looked at in a very different way.
It came down to numbers. I mean, FLDS's belief system was that the only way to get into heaven is the more wives you have. You know, according to Warren Jeffs, you needed at least three, and only he could assign you that. And so the second question I have to this is, so they selectively choose things from the Bible to support what they want to do, yet it's countered by other things about in the Bible. Like Amy Duggar King, who's she does an amazing job at the very beginning of her book talking about the counters inside the Bible to all the things that she was talking learned about IBLP. Are they precluded from reading the Bible from themselves and seeing these counters? Or are they not curious about, you know, hey, you say this, but it actually doesn't mean it here? I mean, where's the disconnect? How come they can't reason for themselves that this is wrong?
There is no reasoning for themselves that goes on. In fact, reasoning is being disobedient. You're not supposed to ask questions. You don't object. You don't raise inconsistencies, because the Bible, there are so many distinctly different parts of the Bible, Old Testament from New Testament, ways that sin is described, ways that salvation is described. And it's kind of all over the place. And people, if they have an agenda, they can pick out the portions that they want. And that's what they hone in on. If it's okay, I want to read just a tiny bit from my book about what I wrote about thinking.
Yeah. This is her book, by the way.
Yeah. And this is the end of my prologue. Put my reading glasses on. In church, I learned that there was no need to think, no need to think about the future. Just follow the blood on the tracks and trust God, who controls all things, even the temperature of the water that comes out of the shower on my head. God will take care of my life. No planning required. No thought required. Just pray. Don't feel. Don't think. Just pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray harder. Pray until you're out of breath. And that's really the mindset. That was my mindset at 13, 14, 15 years old. You are discouraged from thinking because that's how the devil can get in. So you don't point out the discrepancies. You don't ask, you know, you don't even ask the pastor, well, how does that verse disagree with that verse? And how do I tie this together? You just don't do that because that's how the devil gets in your head. And when that pastor speaks, he is the voice of God. And so when you hear that enough and you grow up in that, You know, I remember going around and of course I was a thinker, doubts would creep in and I would just have to shut it down cognitively. And I would just have to go back and repeat a Bible verse in my head all the time.
Do cults like this, even lesser organizations that aren't to the level of cult, but are controlling groups of people, there's a term that gets thrown around. It's a common term, and it sounds so simple. It almost sounds like, to some folks, like a warm cup of coffee and a scone, maybe a croissant on a nice porch where everybody's chatting. Bible study. That's the term. Bible study. And when you say it like that, like we're going to get together for a Bible study, it makes you think you're like having some sort of conversation where people are debating the Bible. People are working it down and like trying to understand it better. But in reality, and maybe there are some Bible studies like that. I'm sure there probably are. There are some groups and some versions of religious interpretation that do exactly that, and good for them. But a lot of them, it ain't a study. It's a lecture. It's someone telling you. If you have any questions, you got a question about it, great. I'm going to tell you how to interpret it.
Right.
And I think that might also answer some of your question there, Robin, too. How do they get there? Because if they do have a question, if they do, they don't sit there and read the Bible. They bring their concern to the leader, and the leader goes, oh, well here's the interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. And their interpretation, well, there's your answer. Now I know. Because the leader told me this is how it should be interpreted, and he's wiser than me. He studied this far more than I have. So, of course, I'm going to believe him. Mm-hmm. And then that's how you can get bastardization of the Bible through a human being. And then many people start believing it.
Right. Right.
It's Jim Bob.
Yeah. Anybody. I mean, anybody that's going to take that role and not truly, you know, jump in and allow people to learn and to make their own decisions and to come to their own conclusions.
You know, and Tony, I know I don't mean to, it's not going off track. It's kind of related, hopefully. Yeah. I remember after 9/11 and working in New York City, and I'd worked counterintelligence my career, recruiting spies, and Russia was my focus. But after 9/11, we shifted to the Middle East for a large period of time because we needed sources there. And I even speak about him in my book, Sizing People Up. His name in the book is Anon. I remember talking to Anon after he came on board with helping us. I said, how is it that these people from your country have no problem doing this, like these suicide missions and you know, killing other people in the name of their God, of Allah? And he goes, well, that's easy. He goes, they don't know better. And I said, what do you mean they don't know any better? He goes, well, when they go, again, in these situations, they get radicalized or the fundamental extremists because they don't have the capability of reading the Quran for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's told to them through the mullah what is, and if they question it, it's against God, it's against Allah. Mm-hmm. And so, when you combine that with nothing else to lose, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. So made up, you know, again, when you control the information and you don't allow discernment, if you don't allow someone to be curious about interrogating that information themselves or have questions, you know, to Siobhan's point, this is the crazy that can happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so true. It's true in most religions that when it comes down to what you've taken in. I mean, it's all you know. I mean, it's applicable outside of religion. No matter, you only know what you know. And if what you know is that the most important thing ever is what happens when you're dead, not actually what happens while you're alive, and the goal is just simply servicing your death, you'll do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then that seems to be the key to all of this. If you can make the most important thing to you, your death, and what happens on the other side, and everything is servicing that, then nothing what happens over here really matters. Because at the end of the day, it's all wiped clean. Whatever, you're good. Mm-hmm. And death is the ultimate thing. Which I mean, it's insane. But it seems to be what a majority of civilization has subscribed to for pretty much ever.
Mm-hmm. isn't it kind of crazy and interesting in a tragic, horrific way that the path to salvation in each one of these types of extremist cults is the subjugation of women?
Yes.
Every single one of them.
Yes, yes.
And yet no one interrogates that from the inside saying, you know, so you, what you're telling me is that the only way into heaven is to subjugate a human being and enslave them? Mm-hmm. And it always happens to be women in all these different forms? I mean, what the friggin' hell?
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a cult, Siobhan, that was led by women and they subjugated men?
I can only think of, and there have probably been some. I can think of one cult in Centralia, Washington, that has been led by a woman. I forget her name, her real name, but she goes by the name Ramtha.
Yeah, and, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and she channels a 30,000-year-old Indian mystic, and she gets up and gives predictions on stage, and she's been covered on TV. Really, my word of the day is wackadoodle. She's a wackadoodle. And I don't know that she subjugates men at all. I think she exploits men. But that was – I had a friend who actually worked in Ramtha's warehouse – didn't believe in Ramtha, but it was a job out in Centralia, Washington, and she would mail out her books and CDs. And the woman got fabulously rich with this. And anybody, I think she's probably still on YouTube if you Google Ramtha, and you can watch her do her channeling on stage, and she puts on this fake Indian accent, and it's I mean, anybody outside you would think would look at this and go, this is nuts, but she had hundreds of thousands of followers at one point. So
does she fall into the category for you, Siobhan, of being a guru? And if so, what's the difference between a cult leader and a guru?
Guru, I think, is a little, I mean, it can be both. It can certainly be both. And I would say she was more of a cult leader because she had a lot of control over her followers. But a guru can just be, I mean, some people I know that study meditation and they're not crazy and it's not cult-like. But the guru would be the person who sees himself as the teacher, as the leader. It's a term I'm very suspicious of.
I know you are. That's why I asked, because I wasn't quite sure what the definition was. Again, I want to, because when people hear these things, I want to make sure everyone understands what this is. And so,
right. That's a really good question. So I'd say could be a cult leader, but also may just be a meditation teacher who's, you know, a little bit self-elevated.
Just explore it a little if you hear the word.
Yeah, be cautious. I keep away from people who call themselves gurus.
It's like you can, it's just like a chart, you know, it's like a tree. It's like, it's the umbrellas. You start as a motivational speaker. Like, just think, guys, everybody's like a step away from being a guru. And then you can go to guru, and then you're kind of intermingling, you know, you got a little more, you got people that are really into you a little bit much, and then you get to be cult leader. And I guess if you got the right type of personality, it just keeps inviting, well, if people love me this much, they'll love me this much more if I have this kind of power. And if you have a willing group of people and you have the disposition to become that sort of person, and you have enough people telling you, you are gifted. You see things in people that others don't. You hear things. You must have some sort of divine ability. Some people start to believe that. And I wonder if Bateman did exactly that. You know, I think Warren Jeffs did that. I think he totally went down the Kool-Aid trail. But I don't know that all of them, I don't think they all start that way. But again, it's like your own confirmation bias. Enough people start telling you that you have some sort of amazing supernatural ability. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You might start believing it.
Mm-hmm. It's seductive, and certain people with those narcissistic tendencies, they're very quick to slide into that position of power over other people. And then when they get a few followers and they get women, vulnerable women, and they start having all the sexual exploitation, the financial exploitation that goes with those things. And yeah, I know I'm sure more than one, but a Buddhist guru who was an American guy, but he wrote a few books, gained popularity, and ended up with a lot of financial ripping people off, people selling their homes, giving him money, and sexual exploitation. So
it's almost like, I mean, when I think of a motivational speaker, like one of the most common ones everybody knows, Tony Robbins. Let's throw that out there.
Or me.
You know, or Robin Drake, by the way. You know, when you think of that, a motivational speaker, and obviously, you know, Tony Robbins has whole programs where, you know, and it's his business. He makes money, you know, on information and motivating people. But he turns it back to the consumer of the information and goes, this is your power. This is everything I'm teaching you. It's on you to do. It's not on getting more information from me. Like, I can help you more if you want, but, you know, and if you subscribe right now, we're going to throw in a free food dehydrator. But if it's far more of a reflection back onto the person. I think that's what changes it quite often in the guru culture. And then when you get into cult leader is that reflection doesn't exist. It's simply, yes, you need me for everything. Not here, take this information, go practice it. Become as good as I am at practicing these things. I think that is a big distinction. Don't you, Robin, like what that difference is?
Well, and actually Tasha Yurick wrote a great book called Insight about people with self-awareness and the science behind self-awareness. And she had a great term in there I use consistently all the time. And we can assess people on social media like this too. And people, motivational speakers or potential cult leaders or gurus, are you an informer? In other words, you're providing information for the benefit of others, or are you a me-former? Are you just talking about what I can do, what I can do, what I can do, pay attention to me? So, and that's where I think that line gets discerned. It's like you can kind of balance these things out, me-former versus informer. In other words, are you providing information to empower others to solve a critical life challenge in their lives by the information you provided, irrespective of your input towards it? Again, they can ask it, they can seek it. But again, it's about people on their own path, walking their own path, solving their own problems, the ways with methods that they've learned from information you can provide. That's what informers, I think, do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always, I'm not a Tony Robbins fan. I have friends who are. But I'm always suspicious of people who are selling magic formulas. And here's the formula to wealth, and anybody can do this. There are so many systemic barriers to formulas, people that just can't pull these things off. There are false promises made, and particularly when they are getting mega wealthy over selling their material and seminars, and ethical. I could write a book on the problems I have with Tony Robbins, but one of my best friends just loves him, and she doesn't. She's never made any money following the things he says, which I think was, you know, one of his big points. And he has a poor history with treating women. So
sure,
and for people like that too, people ask me all the time about, hey, what do you think about so-and-so's work or so-and-so's work? And I said, unless there's someone like Siobhan, licensed clinician, and things like that, I say, always use the caveat here, for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because that's literally what it is. It's for entertainment purposes only. If you get some entertainment out of it, great. But to think more deeply than that is probably not. And then that hopefully answers some of the good comments we're having in the text session as well. It's like, I'm not promoting it either. I'm just saying, hey, take it for a grain of salt. Yeah. It's for entertainment only.
Grain of salt, and never give up your critical thinking skills.
100%.
And never elevate people, because, you know, when somebody puts themselves, above everybody else in a hierarchy, I have special knowledge that you don't, and here's what you can pay to get my special knowledge. Red flag, because nobody is a prophet. I'm sorry. I don't believe we have prophets. There are people who have bits of information that may be helpful, but as I always say, always analyze, always ponder, always think about it. And another old saying that my mother used to say is, swallow the watermelon, but spit out the seeds. You know,
that's good.
Something good you can take from it, great, but don't take the BS.
Some people just have more reps than others. And so you can benefit from the reps other people have, you know, that they've learned from, you know, regurgitated, I mean, thought about, and then, you know, learn from and able to share back with the world, like you, Siobhan, in there is that you've been through as well.
Give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. Siobhan's book that she was talking about and reading from, highly recommended. A very first-person human account of surviving extreme religiosity. Highly recommended, Nightbird. Wherever you get books, go and check it out.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.